Hey, kids. Well, is there anything the Bush administration is not doing to destroy life as we know it? Killing Social Security, destroying the economy, gutting the environment, legislating everything from what you can see, what you can say, who you can love, what you do in your bedroom, what you buy, to what you think. Turning a once great democracy into a one-party dictatorship. They have lied about everything and continue to do so on a daily basis. Medicare, Iraq, Iran, Kyoto, clean air, clean water, no child left behind, Social Security, AWOL gate, cocaine gate, pretzel gate, mission accomplished gate, my pet goat gate, yellow cake gate, Valerie Plame gate, I smoked grass gate, and now Gannon gate. The list is endless. There are so many issues on the table, so many, some say, it's hard to stay focused sometimes. Well, I disagree. Yes, all the issues I just mentioned are hugely important, but there is only one issue that should matter to every American, because without it, the rest are meaningless. That issue is your right to vote and the integrity of that vote. Without that, we are powerless to fight anything else. Exit polling has never been wrong. Exit polling had Kerry winning by a landslide. In every country on the planet, exit polling is used as a barometer for fraud. Here, it is laughed at and ignored. The GOP have systematically taken away the right of every American to vote and have power over our own democracy. They have killed democracy. Let me be clear. Paper receipts are just a smokescreen which will legitimize electronic voting. But how much good do you think your little paper receipt will be when the outcome will never be within the margin of error to warrant a recount? Electronic voting, electronic counting, electronic data dumps are the easiest way to perpetuate fraud on a massive scale. And I mean massive, nationwide. Georgia is 100% electronic. From what I understand, voters in most precincts were denied paper ballots when requested. The Secretary of State there, Carol Cox, a Zell Miller Democrat, or Zealot as they're beginning to be known as, is completely owned by the Diebold Company. She is so deep in their pockets she can't buy tampons without their permission. She is fighting tooth and nail to spread the Georgia way nationwide. They're trying here in California. Kevin Shelley, our Secretary of State, who decertified the Diebold machines, has recently been forced out of office by a GOP witch hunt. Make no mistake, they want to completely control the electoral process. They are 75% of the way there now. They just stole another presidential election, and most people have no clue. The American vote is being put into the hands of private, special interest companies who are heavily invested in the Republican Party and the Bush administration. If this was reversed, and the companies writing the software and in control of the data collecting and counting the votes were big contributors to the Democrats, the right would be screaming, and rightly so. But even the Republican Party has been hijacked from within by insane neocons who are taking the country back to the days of the robber baron corporations. So even responsible Republicans won't be able to help take the country back from the abyss because the vote has been stolen. This is the only issue on the table. Paper-only ballots, publicly hand-counted, with public oversight. Anything less is unacceptable. This is an election, not a sporting event. I don't care if it takes a month to get a winner. At least the people are back in charge. If they control the vote, they control everything. And you'd better believe they control the vote right now. That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
Okay, got to get going. It's Monday, 5 o'clock. Got to have this up tonight, so I guess to hurry, I'm going to run through the newspaper and see if I can grab a couple of things to fill up the rest of Part 3 and 4. One thing I see, headline, small article, 5 officers accused in stun gun death. 4 police officers in Toledo have been accused of improperly handcuffing a man who died after officers shocked him 9 times with a stun gun. What could be more fair than 4 cops handcuffing you and again and again and again and again 9 times with a taser? You just know we got white cops and a black dude. Anytime you got a dead guy, you know he's going to be black, and the white cops did it. Chief Mike Navarre said video taken during the arrest of Jeffrey Turner, he sounds black, on January 31 shows officers handcuff the suspect behind his back and attach the cuffs to a set that were attached to his ankle, a breach of department policy. However, Navarre said investigation found the officers didn't use excessive force and were justified in using the taser gun. Well, sure, you get the other cops, their boss maybe, to investigate him, and he said everything looks good to him? Gee, because if things don't look good to him, then he's guilty of not training them properly. The officer's supervisor also faces disciplinary action. All 5 remain on duty. Of course, it was just a black man. No reason to get upset. Pending disciplinary actions on March 8th. Now, why was the guy put in handcuffs and stuck 9 times with a taser? Because he was loitering. Now, since he died, they tacked on resisting arrest and obstructing official business on top of that. But the guy's dead because he was loitering? I'll tell you how this probably worked. Now, this is a guess. But he was probably standing there doing nothing, and the cops probably said, "Get out of here, dumbass nigger, before we run you in." And he probably said, "I'm not doing anything. I'm just standing here. Why would you want to run me in? Hey, dumb nigger, because we said so. Now you want to get out of here? You want me to kick your ass? Well, hey, officer, I'm standing here. I'm not harming anybody. I'm not committing any crimes. I'm not breaking any laws." And so the white cops decided they had to show the brother his place again. So they beat him up, handcuff him, and then stick him 9 times with the taser gun. And proud to be an American, because, you know, we're all free. Another missing girl. I guess they had an Amber Alert in Florida. Homo Sessa, Florida. Sounds like a joke there, but now ain't the time. Big headline, video released and disappearance. Family says girl on security tape doesn't look like theirs. So here's this 9-year-old Jessica Marie Lunsford. She goes to bed one night. The next morning, her folks wake up, and they hear her alarm going off, but she's not turning it off. So they go in her bedroom. She's gone. Her clothes to go to school in the next day, still laid out by the bed, but she's gone. Interestingly, you know, isn't it awful you got to do that these days? And you know what's funny? If my daughter was kidnapped and the police showed up at my house, the first thing I'd do is I'd take my DNA. Here's where I've been. Here's a list of everybody who knows me. Call everybody. They know I didn't have a problem with my kid. If the parents would just absolutely be 100% up front. Yeah, and I don't know how real it is. You watch these shows, CSI and NYPD Blue and that. When there's a dead person or a missing person, they say, "Where were you this morning?" It's like, "Oh, no, I'm on trial." No, hey, asshole, answer the question. If you don't rule yourself out immediately, the cops got to spend precious hours or days looking at you. If you want to get your daughter back, do exactly what the cops tell you as fast as you can. But so far, at least, as of when they printed this paper late Sunday, they weren't able to rule out the father. It says, "How did someone come in and get my daughter? I just can't imagine," he said. "How did it happen? How do you do that?" These are my words now. "How do you get into someone's house? You figure the kid's bedroom's probably upstairs. So what, bad guy walks up the stairs, uses a ladder, breaks in the window? Somehow this girl is apparently stolen out of her bedroom. Dad wants to know, how do you do that?" Citrus County Sheriff Jeff Dossie said Saturday that the girl's disappearance was not a confirmed abduction, but that he had not yet ruled out anything. So that's a little creepy. Why can't they rule out the dad? Was dad missing last night? You know, but what's the problem with dad? Why can't they rule out dad? More than 250 police officers and volunteers searched on foot, horseback, and all-terrain vehicles Sunday for Jesse in rain during a tornado watch. This is why I wanted to bring this up. Now, this is the dad talking about this poor girl. Jesse Marie Lunsford of Homo Sassa, Florida, is missing. And what is her dad's plan? Quote, "If we all pray real hard, then God will tell us where she is," Jesse's father said. "Dude, I'm real glad you're not my dad, because if I go missing, I don't want you praying real hard. I want your ass looking for me, ringing bells, calling people, holding press conferences, hiring detectives, hiring dogs, calling the neighbors out, get them in trucks looking for me. You don't need to pray real hard and ask God to deliver the girl. That's not going to work." Jesus, dude, use your head. As you know, I am loath to bring up the subject of torture again, but I got to say one thing real quick. Got a letter from a guy. I wish I'd have kept it. I still have it, but God knows where it is. But he wrote in and said, "Bart, I understand your position on the torture, and I, too, don't understand these people who can't get off the idea. They just have stuck on this Bart, the master torturer thing, and they can't get off of it. I don't know if they're trying to get off of it or if they just enjoy the idea of Bart the torturer." But he said, "You know, to me, it's a little like cannibalism. You stop some dude on the street and say, 'Would you ever eat a friend?' And I think you're probably going to get 100 no's out of 100 people, don't you think? Because everybody agrees that cannibalism is wrong. Don't we all agree that cannibalism is wrong? And don't we all agree that nobody would ever do that? I mean, it would just be crazy and wrong and illegal and unhealthy and not fair and not cool to eat a fellow human being. But if you're stranded on a mountaintop in the Andes and nobody knows you're there and weeks go by and you're out of food and some people have died from exposure to the cold and their flesh has been preserved like it was in a freezer, now I guess the purists that are listening to this would say, 'I would never be a cannibal,' and you would just starve to death while watching other people commit cannibalism and stay alive." And I thought that was a really good example. It's the kind of thing I tried 100 ways to explain myself, and nobody seemed to have any clue what I was trying to say. So when he brought up the cannibalism aspect, I thought, hey, that kind of works, because nobody wants to be a cannibal. But if you, on that one in a trillion chance that you find yourself on top of the Andes, surrounded by snow, and you can't go down and you can't go up and you can't make a phone call, you can't do nothing, all you can do is try to stay alive until someone stumbles upon you, in that rarest of all circumstances, you might consider a little bit of cannibalism. But, oh, look, there you go, you're a cannibal. Everybody, oh, cannibal, cannibal, cannibal. A note about Social Security. Few things are as dull as Social Security reform, but you see, in the U.S. horde today, there's a group called USA Next, who is made up partially, at least, of the Swift Boat liars, and now they're going after anybody who dares to question godly Emperor Bush about his efforts to steal your Social Security money on top of the trillions he's stolen so far, that son of a bitch. USA Next campaign targets AARP. Group includes some behind Swift Boat ads. An organization stirring controversy and debate over Social Security's future is applying techniques learned through years of fundraising for conservative causes. The group, USA Next, has been around since 1991 under the name United Seniors Association, the conservative alternative to the AARP. And what that means is we don't want any retirement money. We don't need any help with our medical bills because we're rich, we're conservative, we got money, we don't need the government's help. We're all millionaires and billionaires, so we're against Social Security. Anybody who's not rich enough, you know, did I tell you we had that treadmill thing lately? Me and Mrs. Bart, they billed us $2,800 each. That was for about a 15-minute walk on the treadmill. Yeah, they hook these wires up to you, and you're on the treadmill. Maybe not 50. It might have been closer to 5 minutes on the treadmill. And they got all these fancy wires hooked up to you. They go to the fancy machines, and granted, there's a nurse and a doctor in the room, but $2,800 for about 10 minutes. Whoa, what is that times six? You're talking roughly $17,000 an hour. I mean, geez, for $17,000 an hour, can't you ride on the space shuttle? Oh, people, if you're super rich, you don't need the government to help you out. And if you're not super rich and conservative, well, then just die. We just don't care. So this group, USA Next, they're trying to do everything they can to help Bush steal the trillions in Social Security. They're going to use the same tactics they used in the Swift Boat ads. They've targeted the AARP. Let's see, what did they call them? The group plans a $10 million campaign accusing the AARP of, quote, a shameful record of liberal activism, including backing gay marriage. Its first step was an internet ad last week that asserted AARP supports gay marriage. It included a picture of two men kissing at what appeared to be their wedding over the words, "The real AARP agenda." Now, you know and I know that the AARP, have you ever even heard of them being associated with anything about gay marriage? No. But the right wing knows that gay marriage scares the stupid people and it scares the uneducated. They want people to think that if you vote for a liberal, that you have to marry a dude. From now on, all your sex has to be with another guy if you vote for a liberal. And the liberals are so stupid and weak and pussified, they won't fight back, so they're going to lose this fight. Bush is going to win this fight on Social Security unless somebody stands up and says, no, we don't want you to steal our trillions like you stole the trillions for the war, and we don't want you to handle everything like you handled the economy and the war planning. We don't want the same guy that screwed up everything he's touched so far to screw up our futures, too. Can't we get anybody else besides the guy who's a total fuck-up from A to Z? From beginning to end, a total fuck-up in every possible column you could ever consider? He can't do anything right. Everything he's touched has turned to shit. And now he wants to be in charge of grandma's future, mom and dad's future, and your future. And he's going to do it by taking your guaranteed money and rolling the dice like he's at the Vegas crap table. And the Democrats are going to stand there and say, please don't do that, please, instead of fighting back, because that's what Democrats do. What is wrong with the Democrat? They refuse to fight. I wish I could figure that out. In style and tactics, the USA Next campaign appears to be modeled on the effort by the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth to tarnish Democrat John Kerry in last year's presidential campaign. The veterans group parlayed an initial financial stake, about $500,000, into much larger political force through a provocative TV ad that generated media attention, which led to stepped-up fundraising. The group later renamed Swift Vets and POWs for Truth. Raised and spent $22 million on hard-hitting anti-Kerry ads, putting it among the most influential and the independent political groups in the campaign. Well, see, that's what they do. They scream, they put together $500,000 and they scream they're going to force you to perform oral sodomy on your friends if you vote for a liberal. If you're not with Bush on the Social Security thing, you're going to have to blow your neighbors. And the stupid people think, I don't want to blow my neighbors, I better vote for Bush. And so they get ahead that way. So how are the Democrats handling it? How are the Democrats fighting back? Like they always do. Senator John Corzine, Democrat from New Jersey, called on President Bush last week to repudiate the group. The motive for USA Next's irresponsible use of such hot-button issues is not difficult to decipher. If you can't attack the message, attack the messenger, he wrote. So instead of fighting back, they send off a hot letter to President Bush saying, please make him stop. Please stop hitting me. Please, we'll do anything if you please stop hitting us because we're weak and we can't fight back. So please, I'm begging you, please stop hurting me. Please don't hurt me. That's all we got. I'm a Democrat. Please don't hurt me. Isn't that sad? Isn't that the fucking saddest thing you ever saw? That the whole country is going in the wrong direction because the Democrats can't figure out how to say, no, we're not doing that. Over my dead body, it's not going to happen. They can't figure out how to say that. All they can figure out how to say is, please, please don't do this, please. I'm begging you, Mr. Bush, please call off your dogs, please. I'm so disgusted with the Democrats. What is wrong with them? They let Bush have his war. They let Bush steal Social Security trillions. They let Bush fuck up the economy. They let him have all the tax cuts. You know they're going to let him drill in Alaska. They're going to let him do anything he wants. He's already robbed the bank. He's already raped the women. He's already stampeded the cattle. What's left? The Democrats just can't find a way. Oh, my God, we got to do something. You gays and you blacks need to be the most worried. Like I say, I'm an old white guy. I can get by. I can pass for a Republican. Nobody can tell. I walk down the street and they think, oh, there's a Bush voter. But if you're gay or if you're black or if you're a minority or if you're old or if you're a kid, you know, unless you're a middle-aged white Republican, you're going to have a lot of troubles here. And why? I don't know why they want to wait until the ball gets to the 1 yard line before they start to think about playing some defense. But we got to do something in the Democratic Party. We're losing everything. Everything's going bad. And it's only getting worse. I read some articles about Bush not only wanting to take over, they're talking about Republicans being a force for the next generation. So we're going to go through 20 or 30 years of no Social Security, no Medicare, no nothing. If you get sick, fuck you. Die. We don't care. We're Republicans. We're godly Christians. We just don't care. And if the Democrats don't want it bad enough, hey, we're going to lose it. I have what I think is a big bombshell, and I've had it in my little tiny head for about a month. And it seems so clear and so obvious, but very often what's very clear and obvious to me, other people just stare me in the eyes and say, huh? I don't get it. About a month ago, I saw a film clip of Bush standing in front of the White House explaining to a reporter, we're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them over here. And all of a sudden, a big switch was thrown in my head, and it became glaringly obvious that Bush has made a deal with Al-Qaeda. I can't prove this, but there's no other possible explanation that I can think of. And generally, when I can't think of an explanation, I put it on the page, and I repeat it for 3 or 4 days, and I allow dozens of people to send in their comments. How is it even remotely possible in one out of a million instances that Al-Qaeda has not struck us a second time? There is no shortage of insane hand jobs willing to die for their religion. To hear Bush suggest it, it is impossible. Now listen to my every fucking word here. It is impossible for even one Al-Qaeda to slip into this country or to be in this country and get his hands on an explosive. Now listen to those words. Bush is telling us it's impossible for Al-Qaeda to strike us. And by that, I mean, why hasn't some monkey gone into Rockefeller Center in New York and blown himself up at the entranceway in the doorway? When Bush says we're fighting them there so we don't have to fight them here, to me, he let the cat out of the bag. He's told Al-Qaeda, we'll fight you over there, but please, no more in America. Because if you hit us in America, they might blame me and someone else will get elected. So do me that favor and don't blow up anything here. To suggest any other way that could be possible, you have to take the position that Al-Qaeda cannot get in this country. They cannot smuggle in a fist-sized chunk of C4. Remember, there's, 4,000 tons or 4,000 pounds of this was missing from Iraq? Al-Qaeda has enough. They've got unlimited, in other words, they've got unlimited amounts of explosives. And are you trying to tell me that they can't get one ambassador from one country to smuggle in the size of a woman's purse? For all they know, hell, the ambassador of some country who we're kind of keeping an eye on, but their ambassador is still allowed in this country. He says, my wife left her purse in Lebanon. Would you mind delivering my wife's purse to her in America at the on Embassy Row in D.C.? And he says, fine. And his luggage isn't searched when he comes in this country. So obviously, Al-Qaeda, they already in this country. There may be dozens, there may be hundreds, there may be thousands. They're already here. And if nothing else, they can go steal some dynamite out of Farmer Jones's barn. Hell, even if they were penniless, they could steal a gasoline truck and whatever it would take, a Bic light or something, and just run the truck through Rockefeller Center, not to pick them out, Radio City Music Hall, the Empire State Building, Grand Central Station, hell, the Ed Sullivan Theater, if you want some publicity. And I'm not saying do this, and don't write to me, oh, Bart, you gave him an idea. Go to hell with that stupidity. But it's obvious Al-Qaeda could attack America any time they wanted to. All they got to do, one hand job with a knife, could stab a gasoline truck driver in the neck, steal his truck, run it through a couple of stoplights in Manhattan, and plow that gasoline truck in a Radio City Music Hall and set it on fire and blow the place up and have a junior 9/11 on our hands. They could do that any time they wanted to, but they choose not to, to help Bush. Those last three words are mine, obviously, but what else could possibly explain it? What bribe could be paid to these people to ask them to lay off the United States for 3 years? I don't see that it's possible. Al-Qaeda, the story they tell us, the networks, this is what we hear from Bush and Kerry and the networks, they desperately want to bring down America. They want to bring us to our knees. They want to ruin us as a nation. They want to destroy our way of life. They want to take away our freedom. But they choose not to. Now, why is that? Someone needs to address that. This is a huge fucking problem. This is a huge thing. Bush says we fight them there so we don't have to fight them here. Al-Qaeda is helping Bush. They're helping Bush. What could cause, in World War II, we had planes taken off from England to bomb Germany. Now, what if Hitler said, we're fighting them in France, so we don't have to fight them here? Well, nothing was going to keep the American planes from bombing Germany. We were going to do it. It was going to happen. Nothing could stop it. For some reason, Al-Qaeda has been stopped. Al-Qaeda obviously chooses not to attack America. Now, why is that? Doing that only helps Bush. We are only safe with Bush in charge. If Kerry had won, Al-Qaeda was going to come get us. Cheney guaranteed that. And the only way Cheney and Bush guarantees fall flat is if some Al-Qaeda guy blows up something in a spectacular fashion that they could do any day of the week. Why are they not doing this? They're doing it. They're failing to take action for a reason. They've been promised something by Bush. What other explanation could there possibly be? Someone please give me an explanation. Are you trying to tell me of the, whatever, 200 million Muslims, however many, you figure 1% minimum, terribly, horribly, religiously insane. So that's two million people. These people can get in the United States. These people are in the United States. They could attack any time they want, but they choose not to, to help Bush. Why is Al-Qaeda helping Bush? Is this not proof that, to me, it's proof that Bush knew about 9/11, or at least after 9/11, he contacted them through his back channels, of which he has hundreds. Remember, we're talking CIA Bush. We're talking Iran-Contra Bush. This is the same gang who 20 years earlier made a secret deal between Israel and Iran, two of the most hated enemies on the whole planet, and he got the two of them to team up so he could run some guns to Costa Rica so they could run some cocaine back to Oakland. These are all facts that nobody can dispute. So obviously the BFEE has connections to all these terrorists. Remember, they were in bed with Islamic Jihad, they were in bed with Hezbollah, they've been in bed with these people for decades. These Adnan Khashoggi and these other people over at the Carlyle Group, they've got connections. You don't think Adnan Khashoggi, he's the most famous, richest arms dealer in the Arab world. You don't think he knows some Arab bad guys? How did the bad guys get their arms if not through people like Khashoggi? So what in the world explains Al-Qaeda going to sleep to benefit Bush? They're getting something in return from Bush. Now, this has to make sense to you. Where's the flaw in the plan? And you can come up with a bunch of flaws, and I'll listen to every one of them. But your flaw must explain why people like Bin Laden and all the and Zarqawi, these people, they are not attacking. You don't think Zarqawi, he's got money. He's got hundreds of million dollars that's coming to him through the people. Well, hell, just the Iraqi money that's floating around. The Saudi people, remember they do telethons for suicide hand jobs in Israel. There is plenty of hundreds of million dollars running around for anyone that wants to attack America. So why haven't they? There's a reason why they haven't attacked. It's because they made a deal with Bush. Please, somebody show me a flaw in the plan. This is proof. And it's proof in a vacuum of no other explanation. Come up with an explanation of why they have not attacked us. I'll listen to it real good. I'll air it. I'll print everyone that doesn't involve Hillary's genitalia. I'll put them, every one of them, on the page. But somebody explain to me why they have not hit us. To hear Bush and Kerry and the networks tell us, it's because Bush has done such a fine, fine job. Remember, turn on Randy Rhodes for 10 minutes, and you'll hear her say that they still don't inspect these cargo the trucks and these containers that come in from overseas every day. There's something like 20,000 or something containers come in from all of, you know, every other country on the planet. 10 or 20,000 containers a day. And by containers, we're talking about much larger than a pickup truck. These are things, than a tractor trailer. These tractor trailers fit inside these things. Boxcars fit inside these containers. And there's thousands of them a day hit our shores that are not inspected. You try to tell me they couldn't make, they couldn't sneak in a couple of pounds of C4 of the 10 or 20,000 containers that come in every day. Christ, just the U.S. mail. There, if it's over a pound, you got to go to the post office. So what's that mean? You go to the post office and say, they ask you, is there any liquids or explosives or acids in here? And you say, no. Then they stamp it, go, and it goes to America. So obviously they are here. Obviously they can get their hands on explosive. Or like I said, they can always steal a gasoline truck and blow something up. Think if they had 104 bad guys in the United States, which they almost certainly do, they could blow up a different famous national target every, well, would it be a good day? Well, Tuesday is a good day to do it, like they did 9/11, because you get all the press for all the week. They could blow up a national monument or a famous something every Monday or Tuesday for 2 years. And totally terrorize this country, shut it down, turn it into a deal where you're afraid to walk outside because between your front door and your car there might be an Al-Qaeda guy with a machine gun. They could do that to America, but they chose not to. Why? What did Bush give them in return? What has Bush promised them, or what has Bush given them in return? Are you trying to tell me there's some kind of gentleman's agreement that, well, you hit us and we hit you, so let's go to Iran and fight it out like gentlemen? No, I don't think. The guys who fight with swords, I don't think they're going to make a gentleman's agreement with the guy who has global satellites and F-18 attack eagles and all this other stuff. They're just not going to do it. We assume there is actually a real thing called Muslim fundamentalist terrorism. If we assume that's true, and we kind of have to, then what is stopping them from attacking America on a weekly or monthly or daily basis or hourly basis? What could possibly stop them? What is preventing them from attacking? What is allowing Bush's prediction, we fight them there so we don't have to fight them here, come true? What is the secret? This is a puzzle. I say the answer to the puzzle is Bush has made them a deal. Nothing else makes sense. If you got something else that makes sense, send it in to me. But I think I got it nailed. And how can I be the only guy to think of this? You know, thousands of people had to have thought about this, but what, they don't have a web page? They call their local newspaper or letter to the editor or their local TV channel and they say, oh, this crazy guy. How could you not put any stock in at least the theory? Something is stopping them from attacking us. What is that? Is it their honor? No. Is it their sense of fair play? No. They've been given something. What did we promise them? What did it cost us? The clearest answer seems to be that Bush is in league with the terrorists. Bush, remember, he had an approval rating of 50 or 51 the morning of 9/11. It shot to 80 or 90% right after that. Bush is flying high. Bush can't be defeated. To object to Bush is to object to the flag. And it's all because Bush is the only one that can save us from the terrorists. So why are they not attacking? Somebody has to have a reason, or else I'm right. Unless you can come up with a reason. There's dozens of people going to hear this, and I might put it on the page too, but something has to explain. Why are they not attacking us? They can and they refuse to. If Churchill and FDR were sitting in England, in London, in 1944 and had hundreds of planes and pilots and plenty of gas and plenty of bombs at their disposal, but they chose not to bomb Germany, wouldn't somebody ask why? if Nimitz and the fleet had all the aircraft carriers they wanted to, and they sat 100 miles off Japan and chose not to attack Japan during the early 40s, wouldn't somebody ask why? Well, I'm asking why right now. We're in a world war with Al-Qaeda, with these crazy hand jobs of the religiously insane, but they've chosen not to attack us here to make Bush look good. My question is why?
This is going to frighten you because it's absolutely true. I'm down in that town, Fife. After the show, I go to a Waffle House. I'm not proud of it. I'm hungry. I'm eating. I'm alone. And I'm reading a book. Waitress walks over to me. Hey, what you reading for? Is that like the weirdest question ever? I have never, ever been asked that. You know what I mean? What are you reading? Okay. But what are you reading for? Shit, you stumped me. Why do I read? I don't know. I guess I read for a lot of reasons, you know. And one of them is so I don't end up being a fucking waffle waitress. All right? Then this trucker in the next booth gets up, stands over me, and goes, "Well, looks like we got ourselves a reader." What the fuck's going on here? Like I walked into a Klan rally in a Boy George outfit or something. It's a fucking book I read. There, I said it. Waitress goes, "Why read when you can just flip on the tube?" Because it's not the same. What do you think I'm reading? Hee-haw the book? She said, "Huh?"
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, there you had it, show 69. I think I got him in an airtight box. What do you think? Does the Bush administration have a way to explain themselves? How can the facts as they have presented them be possible? How could it point to any other conclusion other than Bush has made a deal with Al-Qaeda? I think we got him. I think this is proof. It would be nice if some of the bigger voices would pick this up, but no. If they don't discover it personally, they don't like to give credit to somebody else, especially some tequila-drinking Okie who wants to take Bush down. But I think he's guilty. I think the facts prove the son of a bitch is guilty beyond all doubt. I guarantee I could convince a jury, but I don't know if I can convince other media types to put an echo chamber on this. So that was show 69. We're going to get to work on show 70. Or maybe show 70 will be the Bush resignation show because he may have to resign because he got caught. He got caught by an Okie. And wouldn't that be sweet? So this is Bart and K-Drag. See you next show. Bart out. Lonely, this
left started up the hole in your culture. Give me back the burning wall. Give me a star and St. Paul. I've seen the future, brother. It is murder. Sound like
Mansion.